My guide explained, these are divisible into two groups. A. Those astrals that make no effort to prolong their existence once the spirit has fled, and B. Those that do. The latter suck up the magnetic fluid which is inherent in all living creatures, and in so doing drain it away from its rightful owners. They have no real intellects, such as evil men who obsess have, but have merely a kind of blind instinct akin to that of the plant. They are parasites, and fatten on the life of other creatures. How is it that some of these empty shells desire to prolong this existence while others do not? I asked. He replied, it is because they have been inhabited by gross and materialistic spirits, and often by spirits who have started the instinct by obsessing someone. You know that evil woman wished you to obsess that man. Had you done so, in time you would have endeavored not merely to obtain a temporary strengthening of your astral body, which would enable you to enjoy again the lusts of the flesh, but also you would have begun to desire to prolong your existence in this plane, fearing to fall into hell. For a time you would have been able to delay that result by sucking up the magnetic fluid from some weak mortal. In the end you would have been driven from your astral body, and your spirit sunk to hell, but your astral, having acquired the habit, would continue to hang on to some poor wretch like a leech, and by so doing might have been able to hang about the earth for an indefinite time, possibly hundreds of years. Thus obsessing not only hurls the soul to hell, but, as it were, creates a ghoul which can continue to afflict the living. Thus I learned that there were at least three definite types of astrals proper. 1. Those still occupied by the soul. 2. Those which were real ghosts, and tended rapidly to disintegrate. 3. Those which have lost the soul, but yet retain a separate existence by sucking up the vital elements of living mortals. Are there any other inhabitants of these realms? I inquired. Many others, my guide replied, but let me first say that animal astrals leave empty shells, and even occasionally these shells may be seized on by evil men who have lost their own astral forms, and wish temporarily to possess one. Such spirits may, further, Gone West 174, endeavor to retain possession and renew their vitality, as in the case of their old astral bodies. This they can seldom do for long, and usually destroy the astral in their endeavors, but occasionally they succeed in starting the vampire habit, and then lose control of the body. The result is that the animal astral, having obtained the vampire instinct, may continue it. Such cases are rare, however, and evil spirits more usually seize the astral shell of some elemental, for they can more easily mold it to their own original shape. The second group are elementals. Now those you saw just now by that low-drinking den are one of the most numerous types. These are formed by the elements of a low and bestial nature thrown off by vicious men, and they therefore take these loathsome shapes. They can obtain a kind of half-existence by hanging round the spots on earth where this type of lust is indulged in. By so doing they don't get direct satisfaction from the drunkard, but they do get some materialistic elements which enable them to keep in existence. They have no separate souls, or even intellects. I asked, how is it then that they take any forms at all? He. Elements of the same type attract each other, and the actual form they take is due to the influence of astral currents which flow through this plane in a manner analogous to the currents of the sea. Just as a mass of sawdust thrown into water tends to drift into various rough shapes and forms, so do these. Similarly, these forms are usually short-lived and fleeting. Now look at that group. Why? I cried, bless my soul, there are fairies then. For these elementals looked like fairies of one's childhood. Yes, there are fairies, and some more substantial than these. As he spoke I noticed that they had broken up and vanished. What are they? I cried. These are elemental astral atoms thrown off by young children. They naturally drift into these pretty, harmless shapes, influenced to do so by the thoughts and dreams of children. There are fairies of a more real type to which I will return later. There are whole hosts of elementals who are thrown off by men of low spiritual development, savages, and so forth. These are quite distinct from the elementals formed out of the astral elements thrown off by evil men. They include many of the satyrs and wood nymphs of ancient folk tales, but not all. Then I saw the pub again, and, besides the crowd of elementals, astrals, and so forth, I was aware of an awful being who seemed to be ruler and master of them all. "What is that awful brute?" I cried. "That," my guide answered, "is a vice personified. Such beings are created by the devotion to any particular lust by all men so afflicted. This drink fiend is something far more real than any ordinary elemental. He is the embodiment not of one man's evil, but of the evil thoughts of thousands. He is not really of this plane, as of the elementals and astral shells, but of hell itself. He is the embodiment of an idea. In your next stage of development you will see many such ideas, but, fortunately, they will mostly be good ones. This being belongs probably to hell, but comes hither to urge on these sots to more evil. He is, as it were, one of the connecting links between the astral plane and hell, just as I am one of the connecting links with the realms of progress. Now besides these elementals there exist a number of spirits who never inhabited a physical body, and yet are real spirits, with intellects of their own. Some of these occupy astral bodies, others do not, and I will deal with them later. But I, W. A. Ed, think we have done enough for tonight. Now goodbye, W. A. Gone West 175, Transvision, etc., at 109 Charing Cross Road. Monday, April 20th, 1914. W. A.S. Narrative. My guide further told me concerning the spirits who have astral bodies but have never possessed real physical bodies, as follows: these beings may be good or bad or mixed, just as man is mixed. The latter are the largest group, and they are open to the same temptation that besets man here, that is, to try by obsessing to obtain something akin to a physical body. If they do so, they sooner or later suffer the fate that befalls men who obsess. They are thrown out of their astral bodies and fall into hell. They are therefore those who never were men, and yet are in hell. So, too, astrals may progress to the spiritual plane. This is most frequently done by their striving to help mortals on earth, but there are other methods. To this group of beings belong most of the so-called fairies who are seen still by a few, and at one time, when men were nearer to the next world, were often seen on earth. These beings, since they, like men, are often of a mixed disposition, are liable to do foolish or even wicked acts, as well as good and kind ones. Their most noticeable characteristic is irresponsibility, and often indeed mischievousness. They know little of pain and sorrow, and therefore are less serious than men. This is a great hindrance to any progress on their part. But, contrarywise, they are less likely to become tainted with the more deadly spiritual sins, such as cruelty and hate. I do not propose to deal any further with these astral creatures, as it would not help your spiritual progress, but it is well that you should realize that man is not the only creature in the astral plane, much less on the spiritual. Man is so egotistical that he is forever imagining that he is the only being who matters. When on earth, he often considers the animals are of no importance. Even when not a materialist, he abrogates to himself the sole possession of a soul, and considers he alone has any possibility of a future life. In like manner he, knowing nothing about the subject, often declares that there are no spirits in the land beyond the grave except men. Even when dead he often does not realize that there are countless other orders of beings under God's gracious protection besides men. Like attracts like, and it is often the case that a man meets few other beings save men, or, if he does, he fails to see that they were not men once. He sees exalted spirits who are men, and jumps to the conclusion that all exalted spirits were men. He learns that he has an astral body, and at once assumes that every inhabited astral must necessarily possess a human spirit. Further, it must be remembered that for the most part it is easier for the spirits who have been men to help or hinder men, for they know far better the trials and difficulties that beset men. Finally, it is by no means easy to tell what type of spirit one is dealing with even when one knows that there are many orders of creation. This is especially the case in the lower planes of existence, and it is from these for the most part that Earth derives what little information it does possess of the next world. "Were you a man?" I inquired. I was, he replied, and so are most guardian angels, but not all. But enough of these matters. Only beware of jumping to hasty conclusions, especially on negative evidence. Now it is time for you to leave the astral plane. Kneel and pray. Gone West 176. Chapter 6. He leaves the astral for the spirit plane. I did so, and repeated the Lord's Prayer. As I did this, a great weight seemed to crush me down. My surroundings began to blur and quiver. The astral landscape became like a painted canvas, and then this grew thin. It split and rent in a thousand fragments, and dissolved into tatters of mist. These seemed to be whirled away as if by a strong wind, but I felt no breeze. The weight grew more and more heavy. I seemed to be enclosed in a coffin of lead. At length I could bear it no longer, and shrieked to my guide, "Help me, for God's sake, to get clear of this weight." He held out his hand to me, and I sprang towards it, and, to my astonishment, found myself free of the weight. Then my astral shell was caught by the same wind which was shattering the landscape. It whirled and twisted and grew flimsy. Then it whirled out of sight. The mists drifted quickly away and I saw a beautiful landscape, the type of landscape familiar to you by now. I had reached the plane of the spiritual body. I had hardly time to realize it before, on every side, visions of my former life came crowding upon me in a wild chaos, like a hideous nightmare from which I could not escape. I could not see my guide, and called desperately to him, and a voice answered, "Pray." Then I prayed, and as I did so the visions ceased to be chaos, and took on a regular sequence. From my earliest childhood up to the hour of my death, every act and thought were there shown as a little drama enacted again and again. Not only the evil, but also the good. Here H. intervened. The rest was practically the same as my own experience, so we won't go over it again. A. Just tell Jack about your spiritual body. He smiled a little sheepishly. My present body looks like that of a fairly young boy, but then it was as small as one of eight. I suppose I'm now in size equal to a boy of 12 or 13. J. W. Yes, not more than 13. W. A. Well, when I discovered this, I asked my guide, who was leading me to the school to which Mr. Rell also went, "Why have I such a tiny spiritual body?" He answered rather sternly, "Because you did so little to develop your spiritual nature on earth. Indeed, but for your work on the astral plane you could not have come to the spiritual plane yet. That's the worst of it, that's why I'm making such slow progress, that and the fact that I still bother about earth things too much." H. J. L. Rose. "Well, say goodbye to Mr. A., for you must be going now, and you won't see him again for some little time, as he's done his share for the time being." So we shook hands, and almost immediately afterwards I seemed to lose consciousness. J. W. This document was prepared and formatted by Jeff Cutler, and the copyright is not reserved. It may be freely used for any purpose. Sydney, Australia, December 2009.